Hello, this is Phyllis Miramoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We have another program on love today. And 30 years ago when someone said, oh, I know, Reiki is unconditional love, I thought to myself, well, if there's unconditional love, then there must be conditional love. And that didn't really seem right to me somehow. So I, in my usual rebel self, I thought, Reiki's not love. Reiki includes love and is more than love. Because love is a human emotion. And I grew tired of people talking about Reiki as though it were just another human being. And for me, Reiki is so all-inclusive and so vast that our minds can't really grasp it. So my idea was that as a human being, we tend to project or maybe use our human existence to humanify everything so that our mind doesn't have to stretch. It doesn't have to move and take in the vastness of mystery and what we don't know. And I underline the word know. So over the years, you know, people have been chipping away at my attitude toward unconditional love. As you know, if you followed the shows, just a few weeks ago, we had Anne and Christine on talking about one true love. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I can't wait to see the video. And in another day or two, I'll be actually doing my interview for that video. In the meantime, in musing upon one true love, I started talking to my friend, Margaret Crum, who lives in Hawaii, and she's a Reiki master I initiated way back when, in the 1980s. And we started talking about love, and she said, well, she's in another discipline these days, and was going to give a satsang on love. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. So we started talking, and I've invited Margaret on today to talk to us about love. So, Margaret, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Happy to be here with you, folks.
Oh, it's great. And I just kind of laugh because you were probably a part of one of my interesting or goofy conversations about unconditional love way back in the beginning. So I don't know if you remember this attitude of mine. But at the same time, could you just refresh us? Because you've been on the show before, is that true?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I thought so. And could you refresh us on your Reiki path, like how you met Reiki and what year and yeah. What was going on for you then?
Well, way back in the early 80s, I was working in a women's clinic, and I was praying for some other kind of job. I wanted to do something different. And I had always wanted to do healing or be a doctor, do something to help people. So I was guided to use my hands, and just at that time, someone told me about Reiki. They had had a Reiki class, and I thought, wow, that sounds interesting. So she did a Reiki treatment on me, and I thought, that's very good. So as soon as I could find the teacher to come, I was living in Delaware then, to come there, I took a Reiki class, which was in 1983. But meanwhile, my daughter took one out on the West Coast, so I had a few Reiki treatments from her as well. And I just thought Reiki was a great thing because it did feel to me like it was like unconditional love that everybody just, you know, when those hands went on you, I just felt like something was coming alive in me.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And so then I took the second level of Reiki as soon as I could when the teacher came back. My teacher then was Patricia Ewing, whom I've totally lost track of. And Carol met you, Phyllis, so then I was introduced to you at some point, and then I did a workshop in 1987. It was in the Poconos. It was a 2-week workshop, or at least a week. And after that, Carol said to me, well, Mom, I could be going to be initiated as a Reiki master. And I hadn't really thought about it. I thought she was the Reiki master in the family. But then as soon as I thought about it and processed that, I called you, Phyllis.
Uh-huh.
It was like in October that I did the class, and you said, well, if you come out here to Santa Fe, I will initiate you when it was in a few weeks. So that's what I did. I met you in Santa Fe, and we had a wonderful time. I was initiated in 1987. And I really enjoyed Reiki. I taught a lot of classes. At that time, I was in a spiritual practice called Siddha Yoga, and I met all these people who wanted Reiki. So I was very busy. I taught in Mexico. I taught in California, just Chicago, wherever anyone invited me to come, I would go. So I had a great time then, and that was in the 90s as well. Then I got a divorce, and I moved to Hawaii. I thought, oh, this is a great place to do healing. It's like people didn't come to me. It was so interesting. And then I found this other spiritual path, and I thought, well, I think I'm supposed to be doing Reiki on myself and really healing myself. And then a few years later, I found out I had cancer, and I thought, well, this is why I'm supposed to be spending more time focusing on my own healing. And that's gone now. That feels I'm fine. And I'm very much practicing this, what I call unconditional love or universal love, in my spiritual path, which is science of the soul. So here I am today, because a few weeks ago, I remember saying to you, Phyllis, well, Reiki is really love. And that was a new job. It's more than love. Yes, that's right. It is. Absolutely. Love is so encompassing. It is what makes the world go round. And we just have abused the word, because there's another word for it. You can call it the name, like, in the beginning, the word was, you can call it the word, you can call it, in Sanskrit, we call it Shabad. So, that's another word for it.
Uh-huh.
Is the energy that keeps everything, absolutely everything in the world going. Without it, not everything would stop.
Uh-huh. So, would you, in your experience of Reiki, would you say that Reiki is this kind of love?
I do believe that, yes. I believe that what we're accessing when we are initiated is the ability to use that, to allow that to flow through us so it expands our light. Don't you feel lighter when you have a Reiki treatment, and you feel lighter just being a Reiki master?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like expanding that light and love energy in our bodies so that people can receive through us, from us, you know, it's coming through us.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So we're much more than our bodies, too. Our bodies are just like our cars. We walk around in them, but our soul is what keeps us moving, or that inner spirit, that inner love,
mm-hmm.
gives us the energy and keeps us moving. That's how I see it.
Good. Well, I'm sure that you're not alone. Okay, so Reiki is love. Well, I can accept that now after 30-some years of musing on this question. And I realize that taking away the word unconditional helps me. I'm just wondering, Margaret, How do you separate these different kinds of love? And if you do, can you tell me about that?
Yes, in the book Philosophy of the Masters, Volume 3 of the Science of the Soul books library, Master talks about these four different kinds of love, and yet the fourth one contains the first three, but the first three are often used separately, or that's what we see here as humans.
Uh-huh.
Like you were saying earlier, it's very difficult for our mind to wrap around a concept that we can't see and experience. So this is why we call this love, because this is what we can experience as human beings until we can expand and feel more love.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is, it would be related to a person. For instance, we might like a person because they're an artist, and we really like their art, and so we want to be with them, we want to have their art, and we just spend a lot of time that way. And then when we feel like we've gotten what we wanted, we just feel like, well, that love's over, and we move on to some other person. So it's certainly getting a certain thing or something from that person.
Uh-huh.
The second type would be where it's like looking for a person who performs an action that we love. So we could be like when the work is finished, you know, and that action or work is finished. So if you have a servant that you really like, for instance, and they do good work, or you have a worker, you have somebody that you've hired and you think they're doing really good work, and all of a sudden you think they're not doing good work, we just let them go. It's like we're more interested in the work than the person. Like in the first one, we're more interested in the thing than the person.
Mm-hmm.
The third type would be then we're interested in the qualities of the person. Like very often, and especially in our society in the West, we're looking for someone who's handsome or beautiful, and they have, you know, they wear these special, certain kind of clothes that you like. So it's like we're looking and finding a person that has these qualities that we think are really great. And then after you're with the person for a while and you say, well, you know, they do this, they do that, they, you know, they might be pretty, but in the morning they look ugly. And then eventually it's like that love kind of feeling works its way out, and people say, well, I think I'll move on to another person.
Mm-hmm.
And so that often happens. And then the final kind, or the divine love, would be where all these things are included in that love. However, we also learn to see that that love is much greater. It's accepting everything as the way it is, rather than saying it has to be different. I remember I spent years in my marriage, first, you know, probably 10 years, thinking, why doesn't he think like I do? Why doesn't he do this or do that? Because it was the way I did it. And that will never be. It's like, then I finally found out that we all have these all different qualities, and it was great that he was very different than me, because then we could, you know, come together and I could benefit from his qualities and he could benefit from mine and we could live together. But then it's like you come to a point where it's all okay or it isn't all okay, and you have to make choices out of that. And I also see, along with love comes karma, because we have these relationships and we need to be with people, even if it's for 5 minutes, because we're completing a kind of karma.
Mm-hmm.
So I get into that, but I really believe that that's a part of our relationships and our love, because if we're following that inner will that our spirit needs to move through karma, we come to this world, we're born out of love, the whole goal is to live in love and live in that accepting of what is for each person. And yet we get into these patterns and habits that take us away from it. So learning to live in the world and care about all people, not just a few, is basically that divine love, because it's like we're seeing that you are exactly like me. You have a different body, but you have all the, that you have a soul, you have that love working within you. And some people will see it more than others because they're following a path and working on having that. So like Reiki masters basically are wanting to be more open, to be more loving, but they would never be initiated, or even a Reiki practitioner. They have that inner feeling of wanting more than just those first three kinds of love. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy thing to find. That's all I can say. It's like at least for me, it took a long time. It's a lifelong thing of learning how do we see love? How do we really incorporate it in being able to look at someone and say, they're okay, just the way they are, even if they're homeless or whatever they're going through. That's what they need to go through in this life.
Right. Well, you know, it brings to mind this quintessential moment, this very important little, you know, flash of when you're treating someone hands-on and all of a sudden you have this experience of being one with them. Or
yes.
You have this experience of just all your judgments and doubts and what you see just falls away, and you see actually the person, you know, the soul of the person is what I would say. And in this moment, it's like a life-changing moment. And, you know, my guess is if you string enough of these moments together, you end up really changing your basic relationship with all human beings. Do you think that's true?
I believe that's true. That's beautiful the way you stated it, because that is what happens. It's like we're being in love. When we say we're in love, we're in that space of that total unconditional love where we're all one. There's there is no separation.
Uh-huh. So, in your study of love?
Sure.
In your study of love, I have this really interesting flash from reading also your discourse, and that is how human beings not only project or seek a kind of love from God, which is another possible projection of our humanness, but anyway, and so, you know, if God does what you want, then you love God. If God doesn't do what you want, then you discard God, and so this is a kind of demonstration of the first three examples of love that you gave. And then there's this other piece, you know, this fourth kind of love, which some people do get to in their study of religion or in their practice of religion, of a certain religion, where God becomes everything. And so, then at that point, we might be able to say that God, Reiki, and love all are the same concept. Does that follow in what you're...
It does, because God is love, and to me, Reiki is love. So we come together with this word, love, and to me, it's It's like the master's always saying, I can't explain things. You know, he can explain things because he's in a human form, but he can't explain what goes beyond our thinking. So right. We have to practice and practice until we can experience that love. Like you have experienced it with doing Reiki. That's because you've practiced and practiced and practiced Reiki. So you embody that love, Phyllis. That's it. And the more you practice it, the more you're expanding in it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Totally.
So, and so much, see, most religions, they have, their concept of God is, that God is outside.
Right.
God is somewhere in the heavens or out there. And we have to pray and we have to somehow meet God somewhere out there. Well, that's, the truth is that God is within every one of us. That's where that's love, that Shabbat is. It's within us, and we have to go inside, in the body, to find the love. And that's why Reiki is so wonderful, because it takes you inside your body. See, it connects your love with my love when you put your hands on. See, that's how I believe. I mean, who knows? I'm making this, I mean, I'm just saying what comes to me.
Well, that's good.
That's how I see Reiki. It is that all-encompassing love, and we're allowing it to expand in the person that we give it to, and within ourselves at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And God is not a person out there or a being out there, or God is everything. There's a passage in one of these books that's so beautiful. It's like when you look outside, and we wonder why we like nature. So in nature, everything is singing the Shabbat. Everything has that sound current or that Shabbat, that love movement.
Yes.
There's a symphony going on all around us, all the time. They're singing to God. Everything and every being that's happening. We don't hear it. We don't notice it. And it's there. And we are part of that creation, and that's our job too. See, is to be singing within to God, to that Shabbat within. It's like to be allowing that to be our life.
Uh-huh.
Rather than thinking that it's something that comes and goes. It is who we are. We are love. God is love. God is in us. We are love.
But, you know, one of the things that my mind instantly comes to is, what does that look like? You know, it's like, I just want to tell you a little story. So, a dear cousin of mine died now, almost a couple of weeks ago. And I just went to her memorial service a couple of days ago. And she was a school teacher for almost 30 years. She was nationally recognized by her peers as an excellent teacher, and she inspired hundreds of students to achieve far beyond what they might have looked to otherwise. And I was just thinking that when you were when you were talking about the three stages of love, that often, you know, in the case of Naomi, I can imagine loving a school teacher until you go to the next grade and then you replace that school teacher with the next school teacher, right? Who you love until their task is finished with you, and then you go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a few school teachers, a few teachers in my life, one being, in my life that really lasted through my whole career and in fact has influenced my life even up till now. And Naomi was that kind of a teacher for hundreds of people. I mean, there were, I went to a memorial service and there were all these other teachers, staff people, administration, and her students who came to honor her and respect her for what she had given to them, which was basically another way of living. And she was not a kind of love and light person. She was very strict with her students. You know, the first thing that a lot of them said was, well, she flunked me out of math, because she was a math teacher. Oh, yeah, she flunked me in trigonometry, but I took it again, and, you know, it changed my life. Going, oh, if I flunked trigonometry, I would never walk into another math class. And, you know, and this one fellow who I really just touched my heart, he eventually became a medical doctor and is now a surgeon. And he said, you know, I have never experienced anybody who could love me, frustrate me, touch the deepest part of my insecurity, and give me such joy all in one conversation.
That's beautiful, wow.
It is so beautiful. So it brings me to the part of, they got her love, however she expressed it. You know, whether she was saying, hey, pay attention, or, you know, I'm going to give you an F because this is really the kind of work you're doing, and I know you can do better. You know, and it's just, it was a fascinating opening for a lot of people, and especially, I think, for myself as a part of her family, who, of course, never knew her in that capacity. So I knew that she was seen as an excellent teacher. But in my mind, I had excellent teacher being really different than what it seems like she was being, which was totally herself, right?
Exactly. She was being her love. And it doesn't mean, I mean, God is love, but God gives us all kinds of things. I mean, because we need those to move through all of our karmas. All of what we're here, we are here on this plane because we have good karma and bad karma. And we need to work it out. We need to go through it to learn to be that love that we are. Uh-huh. So it's not being something we are not already. We are that love.
Uh-huh.
And Naomi was being that love in her strictness, in her love, in her teaching. She innately knows that and knew that. She, you know, it wasn't like, and maybe somebody did tell her once, I don't know, but we come into this world with that. We come here. We go through, excuse the word, but we go through hell in the birthing process. In the mother's womb, we have to burn to make the bone. We have to get really hot. So we go through a lot and we promise God that we're going to remember God. We promise we'll remember. But we don't. We come out to the world and we say, and we start learning from all the people around us about the outer world, about what's here, which is, I mean, that's why we're here. But for some of us, like you and me and Joyce and, you know, Reiki masters, there's something in us and Naomi, we know that we want something more than the physical world. Or we wouldn't do Reiki. We wouldn't. Uh-huh. We would never have been initiated. So Naomi knew that from whatever source it came from, she used it. And she used it that's how the master is. If you were to meet the master, he looks like a human form. He is in a human form. He's gone through our human life until he could practice enough to be the master. And he, like he said, any one of you could sit in this chair, because that's, we are that human being that can become all love. And he's strict. He tells it like it is. And he is the most patient, guiding, loving person. Every time we're in Dara, he has give answers to your questions. Doesn't matter what you ask. And he is the most loving, patient person. It's like all of us will be sitting there and say, you know, why don't you just tell that person to sit down? They've gone on long enough. But he won't do that. He will bring it around to whatever that person needs to hear. Uh-huh. It's amazing. It's absolutely an amazing experience to be in his presence. And I think that that's the kind of person Naomi was. If she could say, she was, whenever she would be strict, she would be strict with love. And that person would get it. Even though they didn't know anything about it. It's like you just get that love from someone like that.
Uh-huh.
You live in that space of love. So it's beautiful to hear that about her. Wow. And, you know, I'm like you. I've had teachers that I remember and teachers that I don't even remember anything about them. So it's like that. And I know, I mean, you're a teacher in my life and look what I've received from you. So it's amazing. And I thank you.
You're welcome. Well, it's really wonderful to be able to have this conversation with you, Margaret, because I feel like it's another level of closure for me around Naomi's death, because it happened so suddenly, mm-hmm. and so, like, it was so unreal that, you know, again, my mind wants to place it into, you know, a kind of format that I can understand and accept. So it brings me to a whole nother question, which is, I'm interested in what I would call the ultimate test of love, which is to die. And there is this, because we were in this whole memorial service kind of, we started speaking about, you know, our own death and how we felt about it and so on. And it brought us back into birth. And Joyce was talking about this really beautiful story of these two brothers. One was, I guess, something like 18 months old, and the other one was like 4.5 years old. And the 18-month-old was in this bed, and the parents were standing at the doorway while the older brother spoke to his younger brother without his parents, without knowing that his parents were there. And he said to his younger brother, "You remember what God is, and I'm forgetting. So if there's any way for you to keep keep remembering God and that feeling, then do it, because I'm losing it and I don't like it." And it just really touches me, because I've seen young babies, some of whom are at peace and some of whom feel like they've been wrenched, and have been separated from this experience of being one so radically that it somehow influences their whole life, like how they are in their whole life. And it's like the ultimate wound or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I sure do. And it's even, see, in the work that I did with the integration work, it's people, we all live out of the pain and the from prenatal, from being in the mother's womb, we pick up the mother's emotions. We live from a lot of that, from that place, until we grow and change, you know, however we grow and change. But that's part of us.
Uh-huh.
And it is, I have this practice that I do. I smile at every baby I see, every young child, like in the grocery store, anywhere I am.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing. Most of them will smile right back. But there are some, like you say, that have, they somehow been wrenched, and they just look at you and almost back off. They'll kind of back away. It's an interesting practice. But most children will, they'll look at you and they'll get it. They'll get that smile. They'll get that light.
Huh. Well, I'll definitely start my own little experiment.
Yeah.
That's great. And this brings me, of course, to the word karma, which we don't use in Reiki, but the essence of the philosophy, I feel like, is included in many of our discussions about, you know, our reason for being on the earth. Mm-hmm. So can you just explain what you mean by karma and how that all works for you?
In nature, in everything in the world is run by cause and effect. So if something happens here, there is an effect of that. And every action that we perform, even our thoughts, it's like there's a reaction to it. And some of those are carried. Well, I would say all of it's carried from lifetime to lifetime. Of course, in science of the soul, we're taught that there are 8.4 million species in the world. And the human species is the only one that can realize God. But the animals there are like four elements, and everything has one of those elements, earth, air, fire, and water. The human has five elements. We have the ether.
Uh-huh.
Spirit. So the human is the only one that can really make choices rather than just follow instinct.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of humans act like animals anyway, but they are. We are all human and have that propensity to find out who we really are, to go inside and see and experience that soul, that love that is within us.
Uh-huh.
So in the karma, it's like when we come into this world, we are born as a human because we have come to the place where we have good and bad karma, and we have worked out a lot of our bad karma so that we can now have the opportunity to meet the creator, however you want to say it. And there are certain karmas that have to be gone through. But by meeting a master, they'll help us move through those karmas. Like, and that's why we say no matter what God gives us, God the Creator gives us, whether it's cancer or whether it's a great, you know, a great loving relationship, any of those things, we need to be thankful for absolutely everything. The gratitude goes along or creates that feeling of love. So it's a way to develop our love. The more we can be grateful for, whether it's our good, you know, this past action that we have to go through, some karma to release, or we might have to meet a certain person, and it can be just a minute or two, or it can be, you know, a whole relationship full of working out things with somebody. So we don't know what our karmas, our past karmas are. We just know that we're here to move through them as best we can with love and move in that space. And I think that that's one of the reasons we were, brought to Reiki, because that really, being in that space of love helps to work out those karmas and it helps us to accept what is happening with us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does that explain it? Yeah, you can still ask me more questions about it. But that's.
Oh, don't worry. Thanks. Well, I just, again, I just think about some of the things that happened to myself. So one of the things that I really have changed in my life is my reaction to being hurt. And, when I first got into Reiki, one of the things that I realized, because I was in this very vulnerable space, was finally I realized, I should say, that somebody would say something, I would take it personally, and I would be so hurt that my first reaction would be just rage. And, I would say something extremely nasty or just walk away or, scream or whatever. But there was this incredible rage that would just boil up out of me. And one day, when I was in this state, Paul Mitchell, who you know and many of the listeners know, who is a colleague of mine, was initiated by my grandmother also as a master. He was there, and he's, taller and bigger and, of course, much stronger than I was at the time. And he just grabbed me and held me. And I was screaming and trying to get out of his grip and so on. And he just held me and held me and held me until my rage went away and I could feel the hurt. And then I started crying. And when I had that one experience of that, I knew that the response I was having was a defense mechanism for being hurt, and being hurt so deeply that I wanted to push away whatever hurt me to the point of no return, basically. Mm-hmm. So if you think about this kind of in a karmic way, in saying, well, if I react this way, then I set off a whole series of events. So I do this to somebody who's a Reiki student who doesn't know me. They think that I'm just, kind of went crazy. They decide that Reiki is not for them. So then they go on, and so there's this whole kind of domino effect of what happens. Or somebody else gets hurt, and they in turn hurt somebody else, and then they in turn hurt somebody else. So is that what you mean kind of by karma and the cause and effect of what happens?
That's a beautiful example of it, yes.
And just to interrupt you, and so in the last years, what has happened is I've gone to therapy, I've done a lot of Reiki, I've tried to recognize when this is happening and avert my reaction, because it still happens, not very, very often. But it still happens, and I try to divert it somehow within myself, like by just walking away and not engaging. And I feel that that's better than saying and engaging and then creating the domino effect. So I don't know if I'm creating more karma by walking away, but I like it better. And
that's much better.
And so,
the master says, because there's one fool, don't make two fools.
Right. So it's really fascinating, because instead of this happening like maybe, once or twice a week, it's now happening maybe once or twice a year.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I find that to be really amazing. And then I can say, okay, I'm lessening that part of my karma, but what about all the past things that I've done? Can I make them right again? So that's my question for you.
In Hawaii, we have this thing called Ho'oponopono.
Uh-huh.
And you say to yourself, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. And you say it over and over. And really who you're talking to is your mind. Because it's our mind that runs us. So just allow yourself to forgive yourself. And because it's that God within that is forgiving us, but it's really you. Do you understand that? It's like we're forgiving ourselves for thinking that way, for having, see, behind your anger is fear. That's right. The other thing you can do is like, look, what am I so afraid of? And then when you see your fear and allow your anger to just be there, then you go to sadness, like the crying.
Right.
So it's fear, anger, sadness. And you can breathe through those, too. Allow yourself to breathe through them and as you Reiki yourself or however you do it. But what was your question? I feel like I've gotten off track.
No, probably you're on track. It just is a different way of expressing the answer.
Yeah.
So then when you had, so just to follow your train of thought, when I can say to myself, okay, I went to sadness, and then my question for me is, well, what's my sadness? My sadness is that I don't remember.
Yes.
Or I don't remember, not in a way of, you know, like a memory bank, but I don't remember how to be love.
Yeah, that's it. It's like that your sadness is your disconnect from God, disconnect from the love. See, when we're angry, we're disconnected.
Right. And so sometimes I love the disconnection because it gives me freedom to do anything that I want.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not very loving, but it certainly is sometimes feels relieving.
And that's the habit that you're moving away from.
Uh-huh.
That's just the habit. That's a mind thing. That's the mind that will, our mind will keep us in those patterns. You know, it's struggle with the mind is the whole struggle as we live.
Uh-huh.
Because we have this mind that wants to just always take us away from love or take us, you know, out of wherever we are, just being in the moment. Our minds just run on tracks.
Uh-huh.
That's a whole other discourse on the mind. That's pretty amazing too. How the mind is. I mean, it covers the soul. So that's why we have such a hard time with this love. Because the mind has all these tendencies and these habits that we've created over this lifetime or even other lifetimes.
Uh-huh.
So who knows what your past was that you had all that anger? I mean, you could have been a ruler and everybody was after you. You know, I mean, who knows?
Right.
We don't know our past. The master says we don't even want to. It would be too much to know why we have all these different karmas in this life.
Okay, so here's an interesting question, possibly. It is my experience in my practice of Reiki that this the way that we categorize people in good people, bad people, kind of goes away. Well, it did for me anyway, because when I came to a person that I thought was a bad person, I now have the possibility to see more clearly why they're violent or why they don't, you know, or what's really happening with them and how separated they are. It doesn't make me want to be with them particularly, but I don't feel like they are innately bad. And I'm just wondering, in this whole discussion about karma and, you know, our past lives and if we were doing something that we're bringing into this life, to resolve or reconcile. Do you consider people to be bad and good or always just simply degrees of separation from love?
I would say there are degrees of separation from love, and it's only the mind that wants to judge and make things bad or good. There is, in the Creator's eyes, there is no bad or good. It's, it just is. It is.
Uh-huh.
Right now, all there is right now, and it is this way. And, yeah, we, from all of our conditioning, are the only ones that make this person bad and this person good, and it comes from our mind's conditioning.
Uh-huh.
So to see it as degrees of love or to see it just as this is the way that person is, because that's how their movie is right now. Everybody has their own movie that they're working on. It's all one big play in this whole universe. So they're working on their movie, and I don't know what their movie is. And so how am I to judge it? And they don't know what mine is. So if they're being, quote, through my judgment, mean to me, that's because that's where they're coming from. And I do not have to take that personally. It's like you have learned that in your own, as you talked about your hurt. First of all, you were taking it like everything was just, it was a personal thing.
Right.
And now you're seeing that, oh, that's that person, and I don't have to take on that, whatever they're saying. That's their movie. So let them, you know, talk. And like you say, we don't have to associate with those people, but we also don't have to hate them or think that they're terrible or bad. We just say, that's the space they're in, and that's not the kind of people that I want to be with.
And is that okay to say when you're in love?
Yes, it's perfectly fine. It's important that we discriminate who we want to be with, because we want to stay with the people that are going to support us in finding God or finding the Creator or finding that love within us. We want to be supported.
Uh-huh.
My goal here is to be in that space of love all the time. I mean, if we were perfect, we wouldn't be on this planet. So we're always looking to be perfect in our imperfection. And to find that space of being in the space of love all the time. So that once we get there, then in Satmat, or in Science of the Soul, it's called dying while living. So that we're dying to the illusion of the world and living in it at the same time.
Dying?
Say
that again?
Yeah, and if we meditate daily and actually go into that space inside, we call it the third eye, which is the home of the soul. If we can do that daily, eventually we can just go in and out of that as we live and work in the world. Now, you know, I have not accomplished that. And that's the goal of a human who wants to really be in the space with God, like Kabir or, you know, Hafiz. That's what they're writing their poetry from that place of being one with God. If you've read any of their things.
Yes, I have. Or Rumi.
Or Rumi, yeah. Mm.
So, if taking what you just said and kind of translating it into Reiki space, a Reiki thing, I would say that we treat ourselves, we treat others daily we allow and choose to be in this space of love, or this experience of love, divine love, we can call it. And in that, then we're able to more and more, hopefully, carry that into the other parts of our lives. And so it is a kind of discipline to be able to do that. And the healing piece is about really allowing the parts that were broken or separated from perhaps past lives or something that we inherited in the womb, or something that we created from our own reactions in this lifetime, that these broken and separated pieces of ourselves can be made whole, and that the wholeness is actually within us already.
Absolutely, that's it. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
True. Well, I'm glad we're at the end of this program, because that's a lot to think about. And I get it.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that we have this conversation, because it always helps me to understand it more myself. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, well, it's been great for me too, and it's something really to ponder about. And so usually, I just need to ask this of you, usually then you don't use an adjective before love. You just say love and know that it includes everything.
Yes, I would. Uh-huh.
Well,
I also
really
want to
like
say
that.
I want to say to you that you are a good example. I mean, having what you've said right now, I mean, coming from that place of always being angry to where you are today, just look at your life and look at how you've grown closer and closer and closer to that all love.
Uh-huh.
So just really acknowledge yourself and feel that for yourself, because that's how we teach, is out of being. And that's what you do. You always have. You teach out of your beingness.
Uh-huh.
And you're always very present with whatever emotion's going on. So that's been a teaching for everybody who sticks with you. But, you know, some people may have been turned away, but that's just their karma.
Right.
So I really thank you for this conversation.
Oh, and I thank you for this conversation. And I know that it's going to, it's shifted already a little piece of myself. And my rebel is very quiet right now.
Very good. And remember the Ho'oponopono. That's really very helpful.
Yes, it is. I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's not a very simple thing to do. Well, love is an amazing word, and I really want to thank you for this conversation that I feel like really touches a lot of the very basic questions of our human existence, and what does love have to do with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Michael saying once that there are many questions and there's one answer, and the answer is love.
Oh, beautiful. Uh-huh.
Beautiful. Thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome, and thank you.
You're welcome. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.